Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We got Dane Brugler right now from The Athletic on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Dane, first question to you. We were just arguing about this because I thought, man, maybe that game against Pittsburgh, maybe it was different because you took the quarterback out of the equation. You remember that game, Dane? It was snowing that Thursday night.
Oh, yeah. And I go, never be able to forget that one, yeah.
Yeah, I said, you take the quarterback out of the equation on both of those teams. Pittsburgh, they're a middle-of-the-road team. The Browns beat them. And I'm thinking, man, if you get somebody and just complete some passes, be decent, take care of the football, don't turn it over – you could be decent, but you're a draft guy. Is it worth it to be a 9-win team in 2025, knowing what the next draft is going to be? And also, for a lot of fans, because they don't necessarily trust the front office or the coaching staff, that would be certainly enough wins to keep people employed.
Yeah, and I think there's, it's human nature, right, to have some sense of self-preservation. You want to have your cake and eat it too, meaning you want to put yourself in position in future years to be drafting the best players, but at the same time you want to win on Sundays. And like, this is an organization that is striving to build and maintain a culture, and you do that by winning. And so it's a really tricky proposition to put yourself in position where you're going to lose games to hopefully get a quarterback next off season when you need to win games. You have to put the product on the field. And, I think there's different ways to go about drafting a quarterback or finding the right quarterback. It's not as simple as let's tank, let's get the number one pick. And like, this team has done that before, right? We've been down that road, and that doesn't mean that it's not the right way to go, but just looking towards next year, I'm not saying like, there's not a Caleb Williams. There's not a Drake May. There's not a clear cut, hey, we have this quarterback out there for next year where if we just lose enough games, we're going to be in good spot. So this is a team that is still good enough to win games, still good enough to compete, and they have to be realistic about their quarterback options. And, I think they are. Whether that ends up being Kirk Cousins, whether that ends up being a rookie from this class, is it an optimal situation? No. But it's just the reality of the situation. So, no, I think they need to attack this offseason as if, hey, we're going to go in, we're going to compete, we're going to win games, and see where the chips fall.
Dane Brugler with us. So, obviously, every draft question when you're a Browns fan is going to be, is the quarterback good enough that's going to be available? Right now, are we under the assumption, Dane, that there will not be a trade up, that number one overall will be Cam Ward?
That is certainly the way that it feels like we're going. I think the Titans are in an interesting spot where you have a first-year general manager who's coming into a situation where, the Titans earned the number one overall pick. They have that pick for a reason. So, obviously, they have a need at quarterback. But, you know, they're a younger team, and so there's a thought, well, let's just build up the roster and then we'll find the quarterback along the way. But if you love Cam Ward enough, then that should be the pick. And it certainly seems like that's the way the Titans are leaning, at least, you know, here we are 3 weeks from the draft.
So then if that is the case, you know, everything boils down to whether or not the Browns actually have a legitimate, you know, top of the first round grade on Shador. A lot of rumors and speculation that they don't. And after the combine, all I could hear were rumors about executives having drinks in Indy and sharing their real thoughts and saying, man, he's a second round grade. What have you heard? And has there really been movement, or is all that noise? Are people, you know, the real executives, have they wavered at all on Shador?
I don't know. I've been pretty consistent with my thoughts on Shador, and I think they match up pretty closely with how a lot of teams view Shador. And that's just, he's a good quarterback, just not one that I think you necessarily draft in the top five. You know, I don't think he's a guy that's going to elevate the offense around you. I think he can come in and, like, what's the best case scenario for Shador? Is it maybe a Brock Purdy? Like, maybe that's absolute best case. And you know, there's no guarantee he would get to that level. So, you know, I think it'd be a big swing to draft him number two overall and expect him to come in, elevate everybody around you, make the offense, you know, clearly better, and help you compete for the playoffs. I think it's not only that you're making that pick early, but you're also missing out on some of these other top prospects that are on your board. So if you miss on that, it's not just you're missing on the quarterback, but you're also missing out on a chance at a Bill Carter or Travis Hunter, or whichever way they go. This is a light draft at the top. The Browns are in a lucky situation where they have the number two pick. There's a good chance they will have their option of the top non-quarterback in this draft. And this is a draft where it's Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter at the top, and then there's a drop-off and a lot of question marks after that. So I think, you know, yeah, it would have been better if the Browns had a number one pick in, say, last year's draft with, when you have multiple quarterbacks, sure. But at least in this draft, they're in a spot where it's a light class in terms of the top five, but they're in a position to draft one of the premier non-quarterbacks available.
Dane Brugler, author of The Beast. It gets released April 9th. It's the largest draft guide he's ever done. He's a senior NFL draft analyst from The Athletic. All right, Dane, could we be or is this kind of chewing hot air, chewing the fat, whatever, about the draft right now, where I'm hearing some pundits kind of wondering right now whether or not Jackson Dart could actually go ahead of Shador Sanders in this draft. Is that a possibility?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think that's crazy. You know, I think we've been so you know, locked in on, oh, Shador is going to go third or this. But, okay, let's just say that Shador does not go top three. The Browns don't take him. The Giants don't take him. Where does Shador Sanders fall? You know, I don't think he's probably not going top 10. And so, you know, do the Steelers make that move, even if they bring in Aaron Rodgers? You know, I think that there's a couple wild card teams once you get to the teens and the 20s. But then once you get to that area, that's when we're talking about Jackson Dart territory as well. And so, and we also talk about the teams at the top of the second round, the Browns, the Giants, who could potentially trade back into one to get one of those quarterbacks. So yeah, if Shador falls out of the top three, I think there's a lot of different outcomes that are possible. And one of those would be Jackson Dart going ahead of him. And Jackson Dart's he's a good quarterback. He's toolsy. He's coming from an offense where he's just going to be asked to do a lot of things in the NFL that he wasn't asked to do at Ole Miss. And so that's the disconnect for me with Jackson Dart. He's a really talented player, but it's not that he can't do some of these things. It's just, we haven't seen them on tape. You know,
moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are times where maybe he gets that backside read, but not consistently. He's not going through progressions. He doesn't have to anticipate consistently in that offense. So there are just some things that are, it's going to take some time for Jackson Dark. But if you really focus on the tools and the competitiveness and everything he brings intangible wise, I could see a team really falling for him in that late first round. And Shador could realistically still be available at that point.
It seems that you're not very enthralled with the quarterback class. And if you were the Browns, you would just go to next year.
100%. I mean, there's just, and the big reason why is this is the first year that I can ever remember that we don't have a third year junior quarterback. We just don't have that guy this year. Last year, Caleb, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, year before, C.J. Stroud was a third-year guy when he came out. Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson. Like, every year, we have those really talented third-year juniors. Every year, we've had one. This year, it's the first time I can remember where we don't have that guy, and that is really kind of leaving a hole in this draft of the talented quarterbacks that can get you excited.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic with us right now. I'm hearing the term more in the last week than I, quite frankly, heard all last year about generational talent. And I've heard it now thrown around for Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. If these guys, if it were a different year, would we be saying that about them as generational talent? Or are we only saying it right now because this draft doesn't necessarily have the blue chippers and certainly doesn't have the quarterbacks of other drafts?
Yeah, I can't stand that word. I mean, when it comes to draft prospects, it has no meaning. It really doesn't. It's overused. It's irrelevant to me. I think it's when you, let's just compare these two guys to, let's put them in last year's draft. Obviously the three quarterbacks are still going 1, 2, 3. And then, there's still a good chance Marvin Harrison goes 4 and Joe Alt goes 5 and Malik Nabers goes 6. And so, are these guys really generational talents if they wouldn't have been top 5 picks in last year's draft? So, they're very, very good. And especially when you Travis Hunter and just how unique he is, we don't see players like this very often. And Abdul, I think it's like Miles Garrett, when he was coming out, if you wanted to peg him as a generational talent, I would not have argued. I mean, he was so different traits wise, production wise. He had everything coming out. I mean, he was the fact that he was the number one overall pick when there were several quarterbacks available and nobody batted an eye just tells you everything you need to know about Miles Garrett when he was coming out. Abdul Carter is a really good player, absolutely. But if a quarterback like a Caleb Williams or something like that was in this draft, the quarterback's still going to go over him. So I don't know if I'm necessarily attaching that word to either of these two players. But it doesn't mean that they're not very, very good prospects.
Later rounds, or I should say mid to later rounds, start on day 2, Friday, pick 33, things like that. What would be your game plan for the Browns as they approach that position-wise, maybe? And maybe, can you give us some names?
Who are they going to take at 2 then? Are we going to say they take Abdul Carter?
Yeah, say they take Abdul Carter, number 2, yep.
Okay, well, I think that quarterback is obviously still in play. If they, how many quarterbacks will end up going in the first round? And if Tyler Shuck from Louisville, do they like him enough for him to be in contention at 33? Someone that you can bring in and, a young talent can compete. I think that is at least on the table. I really think they need another pass catcher in this mix, whether that's coming as a second tight end, whether that's going to be one of these receivers. Could Emeka Ibuka still be on the board at 33? I love that fit. I mean, Ibuka is one of those guys that is not great at any one thing, but he's just good across the board. He's above average across the board as a route runner, speed, even as a blocker. I mean, he will get after it. He's not that true number one that I think teams are going to be pushing them over themselves to make sure they get him in round 1. So if a guy like Ibuka was there at 33, I'd love that. If they want to address the offensive line, I think that's the offensive line for the Browns is currently, you're kind of piecing it together. What's DeJuan Jones going to look like? Jack Conklin's obviously, he's long in the tooth and you just don't know if you're going to get him for 17 games, and that's more of a short-term option anyways. So, you know, a guy like Arionte Ursary from Minnesota is a guy that I think could be in the mix there at 33. He's a really talented player, needs some work, but I think you're excited about what he's going to look like next year, 2 years from now, and down the road for the future. So pass catcher, I want to see him get him a little bit better on the offensive line as well. To me, those would be kind of the focus that I'd be looking at 33.
Dane, just a random question since I got a chance to do a few of his games in college. Harold Fannin Jr. Seems like he did himself no favors at the combine. What did you see? What kind of buzz is he generating? Because during the season, people were talking about him as a first-round pick. Now I'm not really hearing that.
No, and I don't think he ever was a first-round pick. He was always kind of like a third-round pick, and that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that's you know, we're talking about a potential day-two pick, potential top 100 guy. I mean, you can't argue with the production. 117 catches, over 1,500 yards. He did some things this year that you just don't see tight ends do, and he's still young. He's 20 years old. He won't be 21 until his first training camp in the NFL. But I thought, you know, his combine wasn't bad. He actually, his three cone was under 7 seconds. You know, he's just a little bit of an awkward athlete with the way he runs, but he's straight line explosive. He catches everything. I think that's the thing that really kind of when you come away from watching his tape, he high points. He can scoop it off his shoelaces. He can catch outside his frame. He's very natural. And that's impressive considering, you know, he was at Canton McKinley. He was a safety primarily. And so it wasn't, Bowling Green was one of those few options. And they said, hey, we're going to move you to tight end. That's our plan for you. And the last 3 years, he really developed and he's still developing. He's still a work of progress in several areas. But I think somewhere in the third round, a team's going to get a pretty good player.
Dane Brugler, it's The Beast, and it comes out on April 9th. This is the largest of all the beasts he's ever authored. And the beasts are a fantastic piece of writing that he does every year. Dane, we thank you very much for the time. Find him on Twitter, at DP Brugler. Dane, take care.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's Dane Brugler, 9 o'clock. Nathan Zagura going to join us on the show. Can I?
I love real quick, I love real draft guys because I'm like, oh, in the middle of the season, Fannin, I heard first round buzz. And he's like, he said it in a very nice way, but he had to be rolling his eyes. He goes, he was never first round. He was third round.
But he's not rolling his eyes at you. He's not rolling his eyes at you. He's rolling his eyes at, because you're not saying that during the broadcast. I mean, you might have heard that. So you say it during the broadcast, but you're not sitting there yelling it. I think it's becoming harder than ever to kind of put guys in some of these spots.